item. Clerk, will you please take the roll?
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Olson? Alderman Salmon?
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm may be here late, otherwise she is excused. Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Schmidt?
Here.
Alderman Skransky?
Please rise during the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have distinguished guests here tonight, but the first item on the agenda is the citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak tonight during the citizens' comment period? Yes, you look familiar. Please take the microphone. Please state your name and address for the record.
I'm Tim Dake, and my address is 3286 West Plaza Drive in Franklin. And I'd like to talk about the resolution that you're going to consider tonight regarding Senate Bill 83. And for the rest of the aldermen, I'd like to point out that I did have a brief conversation right before this with Alderman Taylor and Alderman Solomon. So you guys, unfortunately, were left out of that, but some of my comments will address that. When the SB 83 bill had a hearing in front of the Senate Committee on the Judiciary, Utilities, Commerce, and Government Operations, I did testify at that, and some of what I would like to read here is part of that because I think it's germane to your discussion tonight. I'd like to start by saying that both I and my organization are not, I represent the Wisconsin Grand Sons of Liberty, are not in opposition to the concept of eminent domain. We understand the necessity for public works and readily support the need for occasionally taking private property for public projects that cannot be built elsewhere. But we don't think that there is a need for government at any level to be involved in land speculation or in subsidizing specific companies or corporations through an exercise of government power such as eminent domain. And we think it should never be used as a vehicle for profiting. The United States Declaration of Independence cites among it our unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but the original draft that Thomas Jefferson wrote said life, liberty, and property. And he was wisely recognizing that property is the basis of most families' financial security. According to the Cato Institute, between 3 and 4 million Americans have been forcibly displaced by eminent domain since the end of World War II for the purposes of urban renewal or economic development. And I'm sure you guys are all very well aware of, in 2010, the eminent domain actions by the cities of Oak Creek and Greenfield. So the first issue that we have with this is an erosion of trust by the citizenry at the various levels of government. When government intervenes in business and tips the scales in favor of a particular company or corporation, it's often at the expense of private individuals and small business owners. These actions are perceived by the public typically as a David and Goliath scenario, with government weighing in heavily on the side of Goliath. And if we add in speculation for profit by government, then the citizenry are hard-pressed to conclude that government is acting in the best interest of the people. Blight removal has become the default reason for forcibly appropriating private property, which is otherwise unattainable, and the claim of blight is often arbitrarily applied without any prior citation or evidence, and the public sees through this ruse, and this damages our belief, our trust, and our confidence in government. A second issue which we have concern is the economic bias in the application of the power of eminent domain. Economic development was cited in the 2005 United States Supreme Court case of Kelo versus New London as the justification for seizing private property with the promise of increased revenues to the municipality, thereby relieving the burden on the taxpayers. Pfizer Corporation's New London project promised over 3,000 jobs and $1.2 million in additional tax revenues to the city. The Pfizer project was never completed, and the final acquisition cost to the city and state, that is the taxpayers, totaled $78 million, and numerous homeowners were permanently displaced. When eminent domain is exercised, typically the lower and middle classes and small business owners bear the brunt of the government's action. And the power of government in the deep pockets of corporations eclipses the ability of the average homeowner or small business to keep their home in business. Through Kelo, eminent domain has become a method for redistribution of private property from the poor and middle class to the wealthy and commercial interests. The rest of the comments that I've made really don't pertain to Franklin, but what I want to address specifically, and this refers to the conversations that I had with Aldermen Taylor and Solomon, was that this bill addresses the definition of blight because it's very loose right now. And in the incident in Oak Creek, they're claiming that a man's farm was blighted because his driveway's not paved, his trash can's set out, and he has farm implements sitting out. Well, it's a farm. Of course, he has equipment sitting out. And in the city of Greenfield, a business that was condemned as blighted had been just 10 months earlier given an award by the city of Greenfield as the most beautiful commercial property in the city. It seems if we're going to call something blighted, then it truly should be blighted. It shouldn't be that we're calling it blighted because, as I'm told, that's really about the only tool the city has to work with for economic development. If it's blighted, go ahead, take it, that's fine. But if it's not blighted, don't call it that. That's just flat-out lying. Let's not be disingenuous. Let's not deceive people and say we're cleaning up blight and that's why we're doing this.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. By the way, I renew my invitation to you to be on the ICC agenda someday, you and your organization. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir. If you could please state your name and address for the record.
My name is David Friends. My address is 7472 South Hillendale Drive. And I'm here to speak about item G14, which has to do with the park access, storm management, and Pleasant View School access. I'm sure the city is trying to gain some grant money for this project, and I'm sure there would be some tax dollars spent to improve that area around 49th Street and where Marquette should be. And this has been an issue, at least as far as my neighborhood has been concerned, as far as the extension of Marquette, at least to 49th Street. And this was something that was directed by council that eventually there would be an extension of Marquette to 49th Street. And I was hoping that in the discussions that since nothing has happened now for almost 2 years, the Patricus' land that is south of the tree line between 49th and where Marquette ends, that maybe the city could try and purchase that so that a road could go through there. And hopefully tax dollars, if they're spent on trails as far as access to Pleasant View, that a road might be able to be put in there.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak?
My name is Walter Havelitz. I own the property adjacent to Patricus. 3 years ago, I had a developer approach me, and Mr. Bennett said, would my land, he wanted to run to 49th and 51st, which would be Marquette, half on mine, half on Patricus. Mr. Bennett says, we do not use public domain to acquire land. So you try to get it. Well, I do have paperwork at home, but I notice it's going to be a closed session. Public domain usually is. And then they issue a number, and then later everybody votes on this number where the public don't know what the number is. I know the procedure. But anyways, I had a builder. Well, he backed out. He had plans drawn. I do have the plans. He approached Florence's Patricus, the survivors that are going to split the money when they do get it. Anyways, they turned it down. They said, we'll sell the whole property and none at all. We could not acquire this road, which would only been 30 or 40 foot wide from 49th to the end of her land. But the reason was that the city wouldn't do it at that time is we do not use public domain to acquire land. Let the private developers do it. Well, my guy backed out. I also, 2 years ago, had St. James Church approach me. And he was told by Mr. Bennett again, if you want to build a church there, I gave them papers. If a church owns lands, they can build their church anywhere in America. It's in the Constitution. But anyways, one of the stipulations was you have to put a road in. Church backed out. Alderman Wilton said it would cost $800,000, our share, to build that road. I can't afford it. I'm 71. If they put a sidewalk down my road, who has to shovel it? I do. I know this as a fact because it happened at St. James Parish now. They cut through their land, put a sidewalk in, snow came, they said, you got to shovel it. The parish has to. I can't shovel 500 some feet of sidewalks, so I'm against it. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Anyone else wish to speak during the citizen's comment period? Yes, ma'am.
Michelle Day, 3286 West Plaza Drive. I want to go again with the SB 83, and I just wanted to make one comment after we had a discussion with Alderman Solomon and Alderman Taylor. If I was very rich and I was a millionaire and I wanted to take over Northwestern Mutual's area, and I would provide that, make sure that you would get 3 times the money in property taxes and it was good for the community, would you be able to call that blighted? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizen's comment period?
Hi, Basil Ryan, 5250 West South County Line Road. I'm also opposed to the comment to council putting a resolution in opposition to 83. I currently have 2 cases before the Wisconsin Supreme Court affecting eminent domain. Part of those 2 cases involves the language. Obviously, whenever courts have to start making interpretations and defining the law, we've strayed from the rights of individual citizens being involved in government. As the Supreme Court ruled in the Kelo case, they put it back on the shoulders of government. I feel frustrated that now we have a state representative who wants to start doing what the United States Supreme Court did by telling government to start defining those areas and eliminating the confusion and letting people know exactly what they can and can't do. You're now opposing something that she's trying to help with definitions that would make the life of everybody in the city, state, start realizing what government can and cannot do. So I'm opposed to your meddling in something that the courts have ruled that if the state doesn't take this role, we're going to have judges sitting behind base. I had another word, but I'll politely say sitting and making decisions that affect all of us without our input. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm John McPintick at 10233 West Ryan Road. A lot of you know I farm a lot of land in Franklin, and the proposed sewer project goes through a lot of the farmland. Certainly with the rules of eminent domain, you'd have the right to go through them. Even though I could farm them, it would make it very difficult to farm them. It's like putting a road through them. And as I mentioned to Joe Everly, that it's going to be difficult to farm around manholes. I brought that up to you, Mr. Mayor, at the Polish Fest meeting. I'm a member of the Milwaukee County Farm Bureau, and I do have a meeting tonight with them. I'm going to bring that issue up to them and with the state. I support Senate Bill 83 in its entirety that we can protect people's rights. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizen's comment period? Sir, anyone else wishing to speak? Not close to citizens' comment period. And I'm going to skip past item E. We have you have item F, item C. Oh, approval of the minutes, June 7th, 2011. Is there a motion? So
and so moved as amended.
As amended. Is there a second?
Second.
To move and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 4 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have... item E1A, I believe that probably should take up other items, and that item might be resolved by the other items, so, or we can come back to it.
Sure.
Item F is simply a notice of intention of the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District to fill one position on the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage Commission. That is an elected position. I see in the notices that any of the elected officials that wish to be considered for appointment to the commissioner position must submit a letter of interest to each of the members of the Executive Council of MMSD, and also a copy to Mayor Thomas M. Taylor, who's the chairman of the Executive Council of MMSD. So given that you are elected officials, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. Actually, it was Mr. Liberta that reminded me that that would be a good thing to put on there, so he gets the credit. Item G is reports, and item one, I would like to say that Senator Lozick contacted me 2 weeks ago, about a day before the meeting, I believe it was, and asked that we table this item to allow the senator to come forward and to speak regarding her bill, and that during the course of the conversation I had with the senator said that the firm of Ehlers and Associate that was recommending the opposition to this, I think to the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, may not be exactly saying everything that needs to be said and may have been maybe leaving things out that the senator actually included in her bill. Is that a pretty good portrayal?
Very good.
So, Senator, we're very, very happy that you're here. You know, I said it many times, you do a great job for this community. I think every time that we contact you, you always respond, and they've been extremely helpful. So I greatly appreciate that, and I think the rest of the aldermen do too. So if you'd like to speak, maybe we could use you come up here. And while you're taking a seat, I just for points of clarification, what we have in front of us your bill would not eliminate the current law regarding eminent domain. What it would do is it would clarify or define, and it would specify when there are blighted areas and when it can be applied and when it cannot.
I'm going to make a motion to suspend the rules.
Okay, there's a motion to suspend the regular order of business. It's been seconded. Thank you. Any further discussion for Senator Lozick?
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
I understand.
Thank you, Mayor Taylor. I appreciate all that you do for Franklin, too. I want to return the compliment that you do an absolutely excellent job and that you are very good at communicating with legislators. And I really appreciate your indulgence in tabling this and giving me a chance to talk about it. And with me is Andrew Hannes of my staff. He helps me with drafting legislation. So when you ask the tough questions, if I can't answer them, he will answer them for you, I'm sure. And I really thank everyone that's here tonight. I didn't solicit that, and I didn't know that was coming, and I haven't met all these people. So I really am very pleased that they've come and expressed support for the bill. And you are correct. There's a little more to the story. The genesis of all of this is, of course, the Kelo decision, which happened in New London, Connecticut, a number of years ago. And what happened there was the government took a series of homes and turned them over to a private party because the homes were not blighted, because they believed that that culmination of property could provide better revenues to the community. And I guess, if I understand it correctly, there was something I read yesterday, I guess to this day nothing has happened with that property after the condemnation and the taking. So after that Kelo decision, there was a wave across the country. 48 states quickly changed their law to address that type of issue so those abuses would not go on. And Wisconsin was one of them. We did address the Kelo decision a number of years ago. What came to my attention in the recent past is that we left a loophole in it. I've been quoted large enough to put a herd of elephants through, in that the way blight is defined over in Chapter 66, the municipality statutes, is different than the way it's defined over in eminent domain in Chapter 32. So what we left is this large gaping gap, and it came to my attention with a property over in Greenfield. It's the Maynard's repair shop over on Loomis. And I represent the Maynards. They live in my district out in East Troy, and I represent Greenfield. So it came to my attention, and folks in the community of Greenfield became very outraged, and a culmination of asking me to look at this law. And I said, well, I think there's an error here because we addressed Kelo, and these things really shouldn't be going on. Well, as I looked at it closer,
the attorney for the Painters contacted me and said, oh, no, Senator Lazar, Chapter 66 has a huge problem and it needs to be addressed because this is going on and can go on across the state. So, in fact, we took a look at Chapter 66, and yes, it's very broad. The definition of blight is so very broad. You could define almost anything. The way you testified, Northwestern Mutual, if you wanted to, you could because of the broad definitions that you could use. So what I did is draft the bill to correct that and to create eminent domain in cases where it truly is blighted property, and blighted in the more common sense that we all might recognize, code violations, property that I think we all collectively would agree is blighted and is a detriment to probably the property owner as well as the community at large. So that's what the bill does. It addresses eminent domain as it relates to blight, as it relates to property owners. However, it does not affect the takings of property for the public good, as in sewer, roads, that type of thing. We don't touch that. That stays intact as it is. So Jack can build all the sewers and roads he wants to. But when it comes to taking a property, that is problematic. The Maynard's property, in fact, got a beautification award in Greenville. It was very well maintained. You could drive by it today. I drove past it back then, and at the time, it was very beautifully maintained property. There is some property around there that maybe isn't quite as beautiful, but that is a pretty decent piece of property. So my goal is to protect the property owner, be it a residential household, be it a small businessman. And the bill is supported wholeheartedly by the National Federation of Independent Business. So with that, I can answer some questions, or I can address another issue. Ellers did contact you and cautioned support for this, that it might put the community in some jeopardy and some other communities. And we've looked at that closer. And what my staff did is call the four properties that Ehlers addresses in the email that you probably have received. And eminent domain was not used on any of those properties. So we said, this can't be. This isn't the issue. Eminent domain was not used to get that property or construct that property. So they're wrong on that. Well, yesterday I saw an article written by Rebecca Speckhead of Quarles and Brady, and she again said that these properties wouldn't have been able to be developed. So I called her up and said, why are you saying that? We researched those properties, and that development took place and could take place even with the implementation of SB 83, to which she brought to my attention what happens, what her business is and what she does, is they do CDA, Community Development Authorities, and redevelopment authorities. And what they do is financing. And the definition of blight allows them to get this double tax exempt financing, or this very favorable financing over in the area of the statutes that they work, which is redevelopment. So we're looking at that closer. And if, in fact, that is accurate, we will figure out a way to work either over in the CDA and the RDA statutes to make sure that we aren't affecting that, because that is not intended by the bill. That would be an unintended consequence. And as you know, with a lot of legislation, we do what we call trailer bills because we find all these unintended consequences. So we will be looking at that, and if it takes notwithstanding language in this bill, or if it takes some modifications over to the RDA and CDA statutes, we will do that. She used an example that right now they're doing a project for Milwaukee School of Engineering, and that it's a willing participatory project on all parts, the government part, the property owner. And what they do is they actually ask for the blight status, and that allows them to get this financing. And that's not the intent of this bill at all. It's an unintended consequence. And we would certainly correct that, so any willing partners would not be affected by that. So in that sense, Ellers, in the email to you, yes and no, that I would agree with what they're saying, and that they have a good, valid reason there, that we will do an amendment or fix the bill to not affect those two issues.
What I'm kind of amazed at is, as you know, still the chairman of the mayors and village presidents from Milwaukee County, and no mayor or village president has raised this issue at all or has brought it to, or saying, requesting it this be placed on an agenda. And I have Mayor Barrett there, and and it's I have County Executive Abley to show up, sometimes Lee Holloway, and no one has really asked that this be placed on any agenda, and you know, if there's anything that's out there that they usually, you know, are right on top of it. So I guess that's the first thing I'd like to say. Second is, I guess my question is there, by virtue of this bill, is there any erosion of a municipality's rights, or have the rights of the municipalities under Chapter 66 been diminished in any way?
Well, yes, in the sense of the definition of blight. We tighten up that definition. Right now the definition is very, very broad, and you can take almost any property that you would want because of the broad, vague definitions, things like age, obsolescence, I think irregular lot configuration. It's, if you look at it, it's very, very broad. So, yes, we do tighten that up. We do size that down a lot to protect the property owner.
But as it affects, I think you said, I'm trying to get this on the record, as it relates to roads, sewer projects, things like that, normal infrastructure improvements in that a city conducts, does it impact that?
No. We stay away from the takings for the public good, i.e. roads, sewers, government projects. We don't go there. We also don't go into the TIF statutes. We stay away from that issue.
Yeah. I've got to know Tim Dake quite a bit. Familiar, and I know that he's very, very strong for business. And so I know that he didn't come up here and just testify without doing a lot of research on this. He's really been very, very proactive for business. So, I guess the council, while we have this in front of them, the council always has the ability of not taking action tonight just because something's up here. I would mention that there's Todd Taws. Gaylor's days that may also want to speak as far as Gaylor's position is. Alderman Schmidt?
I think maybe it's the journalism background of me, but I do embrace the idea of having a better definition of the term blight. And would that, by defining it more clearly, do you think would that prevent more potential court cases if it's more clearly written? And you're saying that this will not necessarily cross over with the rights of eminent domain?
That would be correct. The blight would be defined with building codes. So if someone were violating building codes and their property were, you know, you can condemn property for violation of building codes. We don't mess with your building codes, if you will, or with the state building code on that. So condemnation for deterioration, you know, a property that I think we would all agree should be condemned based on its appearance or lack of maintenance, that, yes, that we can still...
How was your feeling towards the case that took place in Oak Creek with the elderly farmer?
Well, this would protect the elderly farmer. Yes. But I can't speak to his code violations if his property could have been condemned for other reasons, you know, for code violations. I can't speak to that.
Alderman Solomon?
I have a couple of questions. First one, you just indicated that you stayed away from the TIF districts, and yet the TIF districts define blight differently than what you're proposing in 83. So how are you going to differentiate between the two? Because if we go by your definition in 83, the days of TIF districts in the city of Franklin are done, which stops our development. And I don't care if we go out and buy a 400-acre farm and decide to put a TIF district in, the definition of blight isn't going to let us do that. So you've taken an economic development tool away from all of these communities, even if it's a vacant land. And what are you going to give us back so we can do that, make that happen?
Are you saying that you would want to take someone's property that is not willing? You don't have a willing relationship there?
No, I'm stating the definition of blight in the TIF district for us to put infrastructure in is going to follow your definition in Bill 83. You just stated to us that you stayed away from the TIF language, but you're not going to if you're going to redefine blight, the blighted areas. There's a real problem here as we move forward with economic development.
If you want to do economic development and there's a willing participant, blight isn't an issue.
It is by the definition of TIF.
I'm not understanding what you're saying. Are you saying it affects the financing or it affects the taking of the property?
I'm not talking about taking any property whatsoever. It's your definition of the TIF district. I do believe there's a... There may be an answer to my question in the audience, Mr. Mayor, if you allow me to speak.
Well, why don't we first... we'll suspend the regular order of business since we're senators.
So there can be one definition of blight or two definitions of blight. If you're saying that, I'm a little confused here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're saying that you're not touching the TIF, you know, and for the, you're not touching that language.
No,
so that's
we don't go
blight.
Into the TIF language at all. We don't touch the TIF. We very carefully didn't touch the TIF statutes, and we didn't touch the eminent domain statutes as it relates to the public good.
But you're changing the definition of blight, which affects the TIF districts.
Mm-hmm. Maybe if you're getting at that, that's different. It's a different definition. And if you're getting at the CDA and if you're getting at the development in terms of the dollars that you tap into, we're not going there. And in the bill, if it does go there, we're going to correct that. So I'm really sorry, but I'm not sure if I follow you totally. Maybe Ellers can clarify this for us. I don't know. It's up to the mayor.
Alderman Taylor?
I'm going to ask the question again because I'm not getting the answer. You're not touching the TIF rules at all. You're not touching TIF statutes.
We don't go to the TIF statute.
Okay. So is there going to be a blight definition in the TIF statutes and then a separate blight definition? Is that correct? I'm seeing the answer.
Because we don't go into the TIF, so whatever is in TIF now will stay there.
So that means that in a TIF district, we would be able to use blight on a piece of vacant land if we don't have a willing partner or willing person. Is that correct?
No.
I'm going to say yes now because that's the intention of the bill. If for some reason it technically doesn't do that, we're very open to working on that and addressing it.
Okay, because I think that's, from my understanding, that's what you're trying to ask, and I'm hearing that she's not touching those statutes, which to me the blight language would still remain the way it is currently, which would allow us to do business as usual. But what we're talking about here with Senate Bill 83 is addressing blight in other areas. Is that?
Mr. Mayor,
yeah, he's asking your question.
I only have one definition.
Am I correct on that? Is that what you think?
I'm sorry.
Are you correct? Am I correct that there's going to be like two separate definitions of the blight, one inside the TIF statute?
Well, we didn't go into the TIF statute, so however it's defined in there, and I think it might even be a little bit different than blight as it's defined now. I think right now it might be different in the two statutes, just like it's different in 32 and 66 right now, where we discovered the vast difference of what it is in Chapter 32 and what it is in Chapter 66. But we didn't go into the TIF statute. We didn't go in there. So, it's not included in the bill. When you do bills, you cite certain statute numbers and changes, amending a statute and doing those types of things. So we didn't do that in TIF.
So what I'm hearing is what she's doing is not going to affect, what she's proposing to the Senate is not going to affect how it would create a TIF. That's the way I understand it.
Yes.
Okay.
And if it does, of course, have your attorneys let us know. We will address that issue if there's some inadvertent action that does. But we intentionally did not get into state TIF statutes.
Yeah, before I recognize Alderman Skransky, has the League of Wisconsin Municipalities or the Alliance of Cities taken a stance against this?
Yeah, they testified against at committee level, yes.
At committee level.
Mm-hmm.
Alderman Skransky.
Yeah, thank you for being here, Senator Lodges. I have that hearing on my colleagues' questions, too. If there are going to be two definitions of blight, that's what's going to be. One's going to stay in the TIF district, and then the other one will be underneath the 83. Are they going to be contrary to each other, or are they going to run in unison but in two different areas?
Let me give you an example. The problem that we have found with the CDAs and the RDAs, those statutes, okay? We're going to address that, and as I said earlier, whether we go into those two statutes and make some changes there to see that they don't get any unintended consequence of this bill, we're working that out right now with the Legislative Council attorneys that do our drafting. So whether we work over in those statutes to to address that issue, or whether in this bill we put a notwithstanding clause. You say notwithstanding whatever the statute number is on the RDA and the CDA, which means we don't go there. We leave that alone. And that, you know, the drafting attorneys figure out that technical language to do what we want to have done. So they're working on that right now as we speak. And they didn't catch it in the initial drafting. They didn't catch it.
As we all look, there's always, you interpret things one way, I may interpret the other ways. And this can be in nothing more than getting into legalities in court cases and tying everything up for years. And that's something that I would be totally against. Either make it very defined, very specific, or don't fool with it at all. Because I'm not in favor of taking anybody's land outside of it's in a public interest and a complete community's interest, and it doesn't in any way harming anybody along the way, because again, it comes into personal interest. No matter whose side you're on, you can say, yeah, it's for me and to heck with you. But when you're looking at a community that we all have to sit up here, make a decisions for the entire community, it makes it a big difference than just one segment of the community. So, but I have a lot of questions when it would be coming one person interpreting this way and another person interpreting this way just because you're in the two areas, and then it's like how you're splitting the kid at this point, and it ain't going to work, and that's when things all go awry after this. So I would look for something very definitive when it comes down to what blight is in either one of them, so it's very specific.
And I think I know from what you're saying, we are in concert in terms of our end goal, what you're saying, you know. You don't support taking anyone's property, and that's the goal that I'm trying to get at here. You don't take someone's property. Here's the check from the government. Move out. You know, that's what I'm trying to address, that issue, which I think I hear you saying you're supportive of. And how we work out that legal language, we will have our drafting attorneys, and we'll be in touch with, we can send it to your city attorney to make sure that that the comfort level is there, that our intent, what we are discussing this evening, that intent is equated in that language.
This issue is going to be contentious all the way through, no matter what you do, and as long as we can come to some medium point on this, to where we're not going to please everybody. I don't care what we do on this
thing.
That's true. And it's somewhere, no matter what happens. But
and it is very contentious out there now. Yeah. Very contentious, because property is open to be taken.
Yeah,
you know, under very broad definition, so it's very problematic.
You get the wrong people in the elective area that doing things maliciously, and that's where the bad part of it could be. So, thank you for being here, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you.
Quick question: is this guy named Scott? Is he in support of this?
Scott
Walker.
Scott. I haven't talked
Someone's
to Scott about
this
one.
Okay. So this is kind of in its infancy. It's just starting to work its way through the legislature.
We had it approved in committee, in the Senate committee, and it went to the floor. And when the email thread came I think Quarles and Ehlers and others got on, I asked the majority leader in the Senate, I said, don't schedule it. He wanted to schedule it. We were moving bills through. And I asked, I said, no, wait till we address these issues. Make sure that they understand, because at the time we looked and none of these properties that they said would be affected would be affected. But
that would explain
that financing issue. We want to address that. I think that is a problem, and I think the bill has to be amended for that financing issue.
That would explain why this hasn't. I haven't had any requests to place this on the ICC agenda, and there hasn't been a movement by the mayors or village presidents. I mean. We have what I consider the best municipal attorney around, but Mayor Barrett has probably 30 attorneys. Milwaukee County has 30 attorneys, and some of the larger municipalities have a few attorneys, and they haven't really weighed in on this. And so I'm just wondering if this is actually ripe for a vote. I would like to say that while I'm not totally familiar with the farmer in Oak Creek, that as an individual, I think that was probably the wrong application of the law. So I would agree with you. And this property in Greenfield, I'm somewhat familiar with it. And, it's kind of the centerpiece of that whole community. Everybody comes there, and that too seems to me that might have been a misapplication of the current law. So
I would agree.
I wouldn't have supported either one of those initiatives. Alderman Solomon?
I'd like to have our other guest in the audience give us a little more information as how he sees this evolving. And I'm really concerned about two definitions, because a judge someplace can rule, you know. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's the problem we have now. We have two definitions now. That's the problem now.
Don't take our tool of TIF districts away, because if you do take it away, we're in trouble. And every community in the state is in trouble as we go forward with attempting to put these TIF districts together.
And the intent is to protect property owners. That's what we're...
Well,
that's our goal.
I understand that, but we also need the tools for economic development, because without this tool... We wouldn't have a Northwestern Mutual. We wouldn't have a business park on Ryan Road. So,
Did I hear you right that we really there is no bill? I mean, it hasn't been crafted. It hasn't.
Oh no, we have the bill. It's been through the committee. It's approved by the Senate committee, and it's ready for scheduling in the Senate. So, yeah, I can get you copies. We've got it on.
It
electronically.
It seems to me that given that these are all legal issues, that the best and wisest thing would be to take the current bill as proposed, not a summary document or not an opinion by a consulting group, and to refer that to our city attorney's office. I mean, that would be... instead of us trying to guess what's in the bill or interpret or trust or whatever, the language is going to say what it says. And if it... I trust that you're telling us the truth, but the language will support that. And because we really don't have that language up in front of us right now.
I think that's a good idea to have your city attorney take a look at it, and we can discuss it with him and the amendment to it and say we want to get the CDAs and RDAs out of there.
I still want to hear from my consultant.
Yeah, as soon as we go back to regular business. Alderman Taylor?
Senator Lozick, also you're saying that you would potentially put in language that would say, leave the TIF district alone.
If that's necessary, we will do that. I don't think it's necessary,
okay.
But if it is, we would certainly look at that.
Okay. Is there anything that you'd like to offer? I know that on other bills have been pending that any time that we wanted to go up and meet with you or Representative Stone, you've been more than open and worked with us on
a number of
things. So
glad to meet with any of you at any time. And
yeah, we haven't
sure
even heard
that we address your concerns.
The Chamber of Commerce or any of these groups. So. All right. Well, thank you, Senator. And I'm going to ask to turn to the regular order of business. Is there a motion that's been seconded?
I
will. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We do have a individual from Ehlers, Todd.
Taves,
who's with us. And I would ask that we suspend the regular order of business to allow Mr. Taves to speak.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Mr. Taves.
Well, thank you. I can clarify the earlier question. As it stands right now, there are currently two definitions for blight, one in the TIF statutes, one in the CDA statutes. This bill would not affect the TIF statute definition, so you would still be able to create a blight TIF. However, it affects you in the sense that the CDA is really your implementation arm in terms of the way you funded projects and implemented other programs. And the negative effect of this bill was the fact that any sort of activity by a CDA can only be on property determined to be blighted. Now, if I'm understanding the Senator's comment, there's an indication that that was an unintended consequence. So if that's the case, that would be a positive news that would be eliminated. You would still, of course, have the issue of the more restrictive blight finding required for condemnation, but you would maintain the ability to issue CDA lease revenue bonds, to do conduit financing, to provide incentives to property owners using TIF dollars. So that, that was the point of the informational piece that we sent a month ago, is that the way that the blight definition was put in this proposed change is it would effectively take the legs out from under CDAs and render them powerless, except in very, very limited circumstances. So if that change would be forthcoming, that would be something that we would be supportive of.
Thank you.
All right. Is there a motion to return to regular business? Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Mr. Liberti, you had a comment?
I think the other representative clarified it. So it doesn't, if she makes the one correction so that the CDA can still do their activity, it doesn't affect your ability to bring a property into a TIF district, work within the TIF district, do the infrastructure and the incentives, but it will affect your ability to acquire a property without somebody's consent or participation and then bring it in. So that's the distinction. She's protecting the property rights, and if she fixes the unintended consequences of on the financing and side of things, it would go a long way to
be limited. I'd recommend a motion to refer this item to the city attorney, who is also the executive director of the CDA, for further review and to work with Senator Lozick and Ehlers and those other interested parties on this bill to give us a clearer understanding and interpretation of what is in front of us or what will be in front of us. And that's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Thank you, Senator, for coming down here. Look forward to seeing you. Are you going to be with us on the 4th?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Item 2 is a concept review for proposed multi-tenant retail building at the Senex West development. Mr. Deedle?
Good evening, and we have a representative here to give a presentation. So I'll just keep my part brief. The Common Council Action Sheet notes that there was a earlier proposal for this development, a multi-retail building next to the CVS and Senex developments. That project was not developed. It has some history that I briefly summarized in the Common Council Action Sheet. They are ready to proceed with that building again and would like to present a proposal to the Common Council. It would have a drive-through, so it would be a special use, so ultimate approval would still have to come from the Common Council. But as a concept review, they just want to know if they're heading in the right direction.
Do you want to bring them up and introduce them and have them walk through the proposals?
Sure.
Is that Mr. Haskins guy part of this?
This is Eric Newman from MSI. They're the consultants and contractors working on this project.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Thank you. As Joe was introduced, as you have in front of you as well, the property 5403 is the location that your site plans, I believe, in your packets show a 6,700 square foot retail building that, as Joe had mentioned, we had been at the Plan Commission and Council before when the Sendix store was being built and developed, and as Greg was working through the entire development parcel, meeting Greg DeHorpe, the property owner. At the time, we had a tenant who required a drive-through. That was not approved, and as well, Greg decided to not build the property, develop the property. He now has tenants that are interested in that retail building. Two of the tenants would require a drive-through. Obviously, you would have to choose between the two tenants that he's dealing with because he would only get one drive-through just based on the shape of the building, and has some other interest in the building. There's a substantial amount of work that needs to be done to finish the plan commission process and design the actual work necessary to commence construction. So before we begin that process, we have to come to the council to ask for your conceptual review of our plan, which indicates the need for a drive-through and indicates the relocation of the driveway just west of CVS to the opening, basically directly across from the quarry access. So that right where Alderman Skronsky pointed is where the new driveway would go, and the driveway...
Could you can it not close the door back there, please?
The driveway that exists just west of CVS would be closed. So the plans you have in front of you basically show what we're proposing in conceptual form.
We have a plan to show the public. There's a public here.
Electronics version or paper.
Whatever we have to show the public. That's why we have the screens.
Why don't you put this up on your...
Maybe while they're doing that, my recollection of these projects is this is an all brick structure.
This is a building that matches the same materials used on the Scenic Store, which is a concrete brick and a decade stone and a slate material and some EFA. So it's basically we're matching all the materials used on the Scenic Store.
The other question is what's the total cost? What's the value of the property?
I would say the total project cost, I believe, in our summary, we estimated somewhere between $2 to $3 million total if you encompass the whole project after it's completely built.
Okay. The last question is we've had a number of we were just in that Lakeshore Medical Building the other day at Culver's, and when that was built, they had plans for future tenants, but after it opened, things changed and the tenants changed as well. With the shops at Wyndham Village, I believe the same holds true, is that they built buildings that were retail buildings, and then they opened those up, and the buildings or the tenants that could come in have to meet the SIC codes, or they have to come to the council for special projects. Very often I sit here and I hear about prospective tenants and all that, and the reality is this day and age, it's a whole set of negotiations that needs to yet to occur, and you're really not guaranteed that any specific tenants come in. You build a retail building, and then you hopefully fill it out for it.
In this case, to be blunt, he's lived up to his promises that he's made on this property so far, which is the reason why he never built the building in the first place when it was first approved. He's only going to build it if he has a tenant, and obviously part of having a tenant is knowing that he can get the approvals he needs to have that tenant have a drive-thru.
Okay. Mr. Steedle, you want to walk? Are you recommending the building?
No recommendation at this time. It's still a concept review. We have had a development review team, which is a meeting with the senior staff, and there were no major issues raised at that time. But we would need more detailed information to have a formal recommendation, and then we would do that for the Planning Commission during the special use process.
Well, is what's been said true that this is similar in nature, in architecture, towards the Sendix building?
Correct.
Okay. And is it currently there's a what there?
It's a vacant property. No valuable use right now.
Alderman Skronsky, then Alderman Taylor, and Alderman Schmidt.
Yeah, I was here when that first building came in and was really to the dissatisfaction of the developer, and it's a shame on the council at the time that denied that building, that we could have had 3 years of good retail business there, taxable property, and would have been better than the field that's sitting there. I think the council and the planning commission, when they look at it, is the building fit the neighborhood? And we should not be able to tell the owner of the building what's going in there unless it's very specific on the retail use of the building. He's doing the marketing. He's putting the money out there. And he's going to know whether it's going to make it or not because he's doing bringing up the cash and making it work. So I'm in favor of it. I was in favor of it the last time. I think it's great. It's good to see progress there. It fits in. The building is well designed and matches Sendix. Sendix is one of the jewels on Rawson Avenue. I think it's very good to have that.
Alderman Taylor and Alderman Schmidt. Alderman Schmidt, did you get your hand up before?
Yeah, he's first.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's first.
Alderman Schmidt. We are on backup power.
We are
on backup power for the audience.
We are, I mean, we are power.
Yes. Alderman Schmidt, you have the floor.
Having had a chance to sit in on the session last week, I am very encouraged with this potential development. Having been new to this since the last time this went through, I don't really have an objection to the drive-through. What I'm doing, a couple things I'm curious about is how necessary it is to have the parking in front as opposed to having the building out closer to the sidewalk. Would that deter from having a drive-through through the back if the building was out closer to the sidewalk instead of having the parking lot right out to the street?
Quite honestly, yes, it would. I've worked with every broker in the state of Milwaukee with various developers, and as much as I personally like streetscaping portion of having a building against the road, no real estate agent wants it. They can't get people to lease buildings that have that. They everyone wants a frontage. We're dealing with this on another property right now with a different developer and a different broker, and it's just not working. The deal's dead without having front parking lot. It's basically the broker's talk.
Can you hear it
also
back there?
The other challenge too is it also flips the drive through, and that's a drive through going right against the sidewalk along Rawson Avenue, which makes that a bit of a cumbersome, challenging situation as well.
Then one other question I have. Can I have a designated outdoor seating area in the front?
Yes.
Of the west end? I just feel uncomfortable that to try to have an outdoor seating right next to a parking lot in the face of the road.
It's pretty common.
It depends also about which tenants are going in.
Correct. That's a great, good question. I agree with what you're asking. However, and I will say Starbucks is not a tenant, but as I've developed many Starbucks with other people, it's a very common occurrence that the front parking lot has the front seating area, and it's right adjacent to their drive-thru space because their space is only 30 feet wide, so there's only one place to put it.
Well,
there'd be a fence around it, and obviously we would have some tweaks to do with the site plan. We have to do grading work on it in terms of how we're going to get it to drain and elevations and those kinds of things, which might have some impact on how it finally lays out, but this is a general concept, and the seating area would need to be right in front of the tenant space, and it would be fenced in.
I know it was an attempt last year for River Lanes that they were going to try and construct an outdoor seating and just driving by it from totally out of place, of course, material-wise. It's a couple of us that could be sitting out there right next to the cars being parked. Questions. I just hope that things will be taken into consideration down the road.
Hold on, Schmidt, this is your district, too, right?
Yeah, it's nice to have some development in my district.
Alderman Taylor?
Well, I got the shame on you from Alderman Skransky, so I gotta give it back a little bit. I'm going to do a little history lesson, because I got a call about 2 months ago from Greg Dvorkin, who said he wanted to take another crack at this. And as I discussed with Alderman Skransky, I think at the ribbon cutting last week on this, as many times we make a decision up here on a development, and if we reject it, that train has left the station. And we don't very often have a second chance to take a look at something, because maybe they've gone on to another community, or they've just decided, they're not going to come back to this area. But the reason why, at least where I was coming from 3 years ago, was that this area was just, starting to kind of explode. At least there was a proposal of the Fountains of Franklin, which was on the west side of the Fox property. And you had a developer who was once partners with the Mr. Dvorkin that had a concept, and we had a Zana Spa, some other proposals in there, and it looked like that had some real potential of being a destination area in this community, something that we're lacking. And when that was going on, to have another drive-through was not something that we wanted in this area. At least I didn't want. We thought it was, we've been asking for restaurants to come and sit at a destination, not to have a drive-through to go past it. So my argument was, This is going to be a destination area. A drive-through is not a destination. That is where, you know, we have McDonald's, we got Taco Bell's, things like that. Well, then that didn't happen with the Fountains of Franklin, and the way the future looks, any other local developers aren't taking over that project anytime soon. And so now, you know, you have an opportunity to basically go back in time and say, yeah, maybe that wasn't the best thing now that we know what happened. But at the time, you didn't. And so I believe that, Greg called, he wanted to take another shot at this. And because the world has changed and what you thought was going to happen didn't happen, you look at, you know, Mayor brought up Wyndham Village. We have enough vacancies there. We thought by now it would be filled when it was built. You had one grocery store come in and leave in a very short period of time. So, you know, I believe that, the drive-through is something that's going to happen. I mean, I thought 30% of the business, I believe, is what they say comes from drive-through. So there's still going to be 70% of people using that as a destination location. I'm sure there'll be some answers to, I know Alderman Solomon has regarding the drive-through about queuing in that. Is it still, where are we at on the county with the entrance? They're going
to
be...
We have talked to them, and their recommendation to us was that it has to line up with the driveway across the street, and we would have to provide a little bit of a clipping off of the nose as you're heading eastbound on Boston Avenue.
So they'll allow you to...
We haven't gotten a final okay. I would be lying if I said that, but they've told us where they want it and what they want mechanically to see to make it...
Because you really have to have it this way,
correct.
Don't you?
Correct.
So if you don't get the left turn
right
in into the property...
Quite honestly, we would like to slide it further west if we could, because lining up with a quarry driveway isn't as important, in our opinion, as lining up with other businesses that might be having cross-traffic, like on 76 between the old Century Store and the Pick and Save, where you can't cross. You have to turn right and go around or whatever. In this case, because of the use of that, no one's going to be coming from the quarry to go to this place. So we don't think that's that important. However, the county does. So we have to work through that with them, and we've developed a plan that does work that way.
And, I mean, I can say that the one thing I never had an issue with 3 years ago was the quality of the building that was going to be going in there. I mean, he does outstanding work so far, not only in Franklin, but Mequon and other communities where he's all over the area. New Berlin, I think he's just putting up one. So... quality was never an issue with this developer. It just was at that time, all I was hearing about was restaurants, and it was not fast food restaurants. And so that's kind of, you know, why I don't think it. And I was only, I think 4-2 is the way it went, if I recall. So it wasn't like it was just one alderman. But we get another opportunity here, and the times have changed. So I do support it.
Alderman Solomon?
I'd like to congratulate you on the new driveway. Thank you. And I see now that the only way to get to the drive-through portion of this building is going to be on Fountains Boulevard, plan I'm looking at. So, or all the way through the parking lot. So I think the easiest route would be coming around Fountains. And that gives you what I was concerned with last time was the queuing aspect of it and traffic backing up onto Rawson Avenue. We've addressed that. This looks good. I can buy into this. It doesn't appear to be going to be a traffic problem, and I hope you're very successful.
Thank you. Alderman Skronsky?
Yeah, Alderman Taylor. I'm going to give up a project. So,
well, went away for 3 years, so you didn't work on it for three.
Oh, no. I've been working on it every day since.
Okay.
just my comments, and that's that the world has changed quite a bit. In fact, we have a mayoral ad hoc development review committee that's been in place for over a year, maybe 2 years, that's made significant strides to make Franklin a much more business-friendly environment because that world has changed. I mean, there was, as Alderman Taylor said, I was putting both hands on to stop the amount of development that was coming into the city. The other thing that has changed, and this will be a recurring theme for me, is that the budget repair bill for the state of Wisconsin just passed and was reaffirmed by the Supreme Court. In that bill, my understanding is we have a 0% tax levy increase unless there is net new growth. This is net new growth. And I think all of us, all of the municipalities are going to be very, very hard-pressed to try and fund things like 4th of July parades and keeping libraries open and doing all that, all of those things. So I think I'm very encouraged by what I'm hearing here tonight, and that I, from what I hear is this council gets it, and they understand that they have to change and that they have to still bring in high-quality development, you know, they understand that, that world has, in fact, changed. I guess the last thing I'd say on this is, so I wholeheartedly support it, is that if I were to go down Howell Avenue, there's some very nice buildings on there, but I think the most recent one doesn't come close to the architecture that's contained in this one building. And I don't, there's some really nice proposals. Woodman's is down there, some very nice businesses, but this is all brick structure. I think you'd have to go a ways to find something as nice as this. So.
And I appreciate that, Mayor. And as I mentioned to Joel in the submittal, as the tenant gets determined, we anticipate the architecture will change, but it will change to make it even better, probably more glass in the front. Right now it's just kind of set up for tenant spaces, but it will get customized to the actual users that we would have.
Alderman Schmidt?
I think most of our preliminary questions have been pretty well addressed, and we're all encouraged by your proposal. So I'd like to make a motion to...
You don't have to. You're just basically signaling to the purpose of the concept review is for them to come in and ask questions and find out are they on the right track or not, and then for us to say yes or no. We used to take this to the Plan Commission, and then sometimes the Plan Commission would be not in harmony with the council. So this kind of streamlines the process. Developers don't have to waste a whole bunch of time and money. If they know that, you know, it's kind of dead on arrival, so that's I think you
appreciate that.
I think you've got five positives from what I'm seeing. So.
Appreciate that.
Coming back to Franklin. And
Doug, as a resident of your district, from a citizen standpoint, I appreciate your support too.
I would just say, I don't know if the city attorney wants to do this, but anything we say is not binding. Is right. That correct?
He's not going to touch it.
Thank you.
Okay, next item. Thank you. The city clerk pointed out to me, and I think you would agree with me, that we have an Eagle Scout here tonight with family.
Yes.
And it's way down on page 116. I'm wondering if there would be. You'd be amenable to take up the Boy Scout of America project right now. I know it's part of the licensing committee.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Does the scout have anything to share with us, or would you like to? And we're talking about Matt Gall.
Yeah.
For the record.
You want to see the sign?
Yes, we do.
Better like it, we just approved it, right?
Dear Common Council members, my name is Matt Gall from Troop 531, and I'm currently working on my Boy Scout Eagle project. I've been working with Nancy Dowler, the current president of the Timberwolf Preservation Society. They are a nonprofit organization that receives no state or federal funding. Their sole mission is to preserve and protect the eastern timberwolf. They want to safely educate people on the value of the wolf. These are really beautiful animals that the public can visit safely. Nancy and I have talked about things that she or her society can use, and that is where I come in. Nancy would like to have a brick fire pit with seating around it. The Timberwolf Society is the host of many outdoor events, and this would be a great place for people to gather and visit. Sometime in August, I will construct a 20-by-20-foot gravel patio that includes a 2-by-3-foot brick fire pit in the center. construction of 4 wooden benches will happen off-site and then be placed on the patio. As a special gift to Nancy and the Society, I would like to raise enough money to give them a professionally made sign. I have a great design from Design Craft, located in Hales Corners. Design Craft is the same company who made and installed the Welcome to Franklin signs many years ago. I am hoping that the council board will approve this new sign, waive all permit fees, and grant me permission to install a new professional-looking sign. I would like this new sign to be approximately the same area as where the current one is. I am working with the Milwaukee County Highway Department as well. I want this gift of a new sign to meet all city and county requirements, including legal permits. Thank you for your time. If there's anything else I need to do in order to get the sign, please let me know. I'd appreciate any help you can give.
How would you like to walk with the mayor in the 4th of July parade and promote your project?
I won't be here.
Oh. I get that. I get that same answer every year. Okay. Oh, well, you never ask a question you don't know the answer to.
Right, there you go.
Well, how about a round of applause for the project? We're with you. Thank you.
Take your picture.
How about if we jump to item, let me ask, how many people are here for item 11 and 12? It's restructuring of Economic Development Commission, allow for further review of citizens. Is the CCD members here tonight?
Can we take a break before that?
Okay, there's a request to take a 5-minute break, so we'll be taking a 5-minute break. Hopefully we can get back to order. And
we need one more for a clock.
Yep. Oh, here he comes. Okay. All right. We have taken a break and we have reconvened. So Alderman Skronsky, Schmidt, Taylor, Solomon, and myself are here. Ask if there was... Number of people here are on item 11 and 12, I believe. Item 12. Why don't we take that up? G12, and that's structuring the Economic Development Commission to allow for further review of the Citizens for Community Development proposal, as moved by Alderman Taylor at the 6-7-11 Common Council meeting. We did go back and revisited the motion, and that's pretty much what it said. So I'm going to look to Alderman Taylor. As to how you'd like to proceed there, I thought that the intent was to take more testimony or more input from the community, from the CCD individuals, but maybe I'm incorrect.
Well, I think part of the 2 weeks ago at the Committee of the Whole, it wasn't actually like noted as an item on the agenda, but it was included because it was pertinent to the discussion, and some of us really didn't get a chance to really view it or really have a conversation with the organization. I did meet with Greg a couple days later. I believe you had conversation with Alderman, a couple other aldermen maybe, and trying to figure out what's the best way to work this in, because I think it has some merit to have some sort of public and private involvement. 2 weeks ago, we had basically 4 proposals. We had mine, we've had Alderman Schmidt's, we had Alderman Olson and Commissioner Haslow, and then we had the CCD come forward with saying we'd like to be involved. I think based on what the discussion has taken place, I believe that there's a consensus to downsizing, restructuring it, moving it over under the CDA, but getting some involvement with the CCD. And so really in 11 is where I'd like to make, if we got jumped to 11, would be where I'd make a recommendation, where I plan on making a recommendation, because I think we have talked about this for quite a while. I think it's been a good discussion. We definitely need to take a look at, we all can agree that getting sometimes new, fresh ideas, fresh blood involved is a good thing. And I don't think anybody said, no, let's just keep it the way it is, at least maybe all but one. So my recommendation would be to move it under the CDA, have a 7-member committee with 1 alderman, have a reporting to the CDA, like on a quarterly basis, kind of, and or on the call of the chair to kind of see what's going on. But to have one member from the CCD on this committee, and that this the CCD actually floats that person to the mayor. And it has to be a qualified person. It's not, you know, which I know on that board there's a number of very qualified people, but I think having some input from them, having one person, so there's a little bit of reporting back and forth between the two bodies. Keep them separate, but
okay. I see some of the people in the audience here tonight from the I think the CCD, the executive board. I see Mike Soto and Tim Tadlock. Mr. Micklett, I believe, is a member or part. Is Don Dorson a part of the...
CARA, right?
Not at this time, okay. And I see Craig Haskins is also out there, and I've had the privilege of working with many of these individuals. I have the highest respect for Mike Soto and the way he carries himself and what he's done for this community. And Tim Tadlock and I have had the ability of sitting down recently four businesses, one of the biggest real estate brokers in Franklin for years, right? And currently have. So obviously this is an individual, and these are individuals that are extremely qualified, have proven themselves in the marketplace, and would be fine additions to any Economic Development Commission or CDA, as far as I'm concerned. And Mr. Haskins and I have also worked on some projects and become familiar with his background, which is very, very extensive in economic development. So I'm looking at this board of directors, and it's they're outstanding individuals. The parties is not really what people think it is.
Well, Your Honor, I think that, right, the people that can apply, anybody can apply. We know that. I say you have to have at least one from that board, because I think it's a good, they can still work on, you know, they have the business, they have three kind of, Greg, what is, you have the economic development portion, you have the recreation portion, and what's the third portion? Kind of like the mission statement.
The marketing.
Marketing, right.
And beautification.
So one of them is economic development. So to have some, you know, have someone from that body join us, and then have some reporting back and forth would be a good thing. It'd be nice to say, hey, you guys run with something. You guys, you know, go out there and do a little bit of this. You know, we can let them, the private sector, do what they do best. And I agree that there's not a lot of people banging on the doors to be on the EDC. Now, I know there are a number of people that are paying attention. We heard that. Alderman Olson brought it up. Well, I brought it up too. Are paying attention to what we're going to do, because that will determine whether or not they want to come out and play. And I think we have a number of people wanting to get involved. If you have a structure that's going to work, where they're going to see their time being spent wisely. So I agree. You know, we have to do a good job of recruiting people too. If you know somebody that wants to get involved, you know, have them send in their resume. You know, have them meet with the mayor. Have them meet with the aldermen. I mean, it should almost be like an interview process in a way. You want to make sure that what we do, we have a marketing person. We have someone that's going to assist us with that. We have old, outdated literature that I know Alderman Skronsky brought with him to Las Vegas that had people in there, buildings in there that are no longer in business. So we have to update our do some marketing work. We have to pick up the phone and call businesses and do some recruiting and talk to our current businesses and say, what can we do to help you out? So I think, you know, sometimes just doing what you continue to do and you're not getting any results, you got to mix it up a little bit. We did that with the ad hoc committee, and we've had some positive successes there, and I think this is going to work out the same way. And so really the resolution that's in item number 11 would be what I would recommend for adoption, which also would be abolishing the EDC. And also, the only thing that's not in there is making sure we have at least one person from the CCD on that board, so you can kind of work together with the private side of this.
I just wanted to point out that we did slip back to item 11.
Yes.
Because item 12 basically mandated that we bring that motion
right
here. But so we're on item 11. And there's also, I believe, a letter in the packet from the president of the Chamber of Commerce. Well, that's a little bit further down. But Alderman Skraski, did you have your hand up?
No, no, I
Alderman Solomon.
Yeah, I agree. I've talked to Greg a couple of times now in the last 2 weeks, and I do believe they're on the right track. I do believe that we've been on the wrong track. And if we can turn this around 180 degrees, turn them loose, I support this fully. I agree that it belongs under the CDA that's chaired by the mayor, city attorney's there, so we've got the support that we need on the administrative end, and as we move forward, I think it has a better chance of working than the old.
Alderman Schmidt, my apologies. Sorry.
Well, I initially, I submitted a proposal just because it was obvious that the status quo was becoming ineffective, and I'm glad to see that we are coming to some resolution here, because there has been a lot of discourse on how to proceed with this to make it most beneficial and effective for the city. And I think, too, having a member of Greg Kowalski's CCD act as a liaison to the CDA is beneficial, provided that they do maintain their independence so that they are not subjugated to the ramifications of it fall under the CDA, that they still have their independence to proceed in their own ventures. So I think if we have a quasi-workable agreement between the two organizations, it's
well, I think if this goes forward, I think I'm hearing support for it, but if this goes forward, just having interacted with we can get a Craig Haskins to get involved in here, or Mike Soto, or I'm kind of excited because I think I'm going to learn a lot. I had just a brief discussion with Tim Tadlock, and he's a fountain of knowledge about economic development, and I keep hearing that, new blood and all that. I just turned 60, so I'm one of those old guys. And I think you need that spirit, and you need the spirit of youth that's really excited. Greg Kowalski said the other day that this is his community, and he really cares a great deal about it, and I believe that that's true. And I think that's true for everybody I've talked to from that organization. They really, really want to get involved, and they want to help their community. So, Alderman Taylor.
So I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance to restructure the economic development mission process administration of the City of Franklin to create the Ford Franklin Economic Development Committee, with one addition being that we have one member from the CCD being forwarded to the mayor.
Is there a second?
I'll second
it. It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, Mr. City Attorney.
I just noticed that the common council members had a couple of comments the first time this was before the council.
It was added
with regard to the common council being inserted in place of CDA authority, and I thought my instructions to the staff were to include that action sheet.
It was at the last meeting, wasn't it?
Packet for this item, and I'm seeing a new action.
It was in two locations, that I recall. Alderman Solomon, do you remember which ones those were? Section 1, Parent A, the guidelines of the Community Development Authority, wasn't that changed to the goals and guidelines of the Common Council? I think that's on page 93.
For the record, Ms. City Attorney said that's correct.
And there was one other location, too, I believe. And maybe on page 94, under duties, was it where determined target for the direction from the CDA? One of those, either one or two, parent one or two under duties?
But Ms. City Attorney.
How about the motion as recited by Alderman Taylor, together with the potential or the draft changes listed in the June 7th Common Council action sheet for this item, and
Can I make a suggestion to the maker of the motion? Because of the significance of this motion, because it has such impact and future impact on the community, I would ask that you take up the good services of the city attorney and rescind your current motion and ask the city attorney to fashion a motion that accomplishes what you
sure,
want to
have. Sure, that's fine.
So I'd ask you if
I'll rescind my motion.
And I'd ask the city attorney to fashion a motion that is all-encompassing and that's going to take care of the intent of this.
I rescind it.
Motion is
motion to adopt ordinance number 2011-blank to restructure the economic development mission process administration of the city of Franklin to create the Forward Franklin Economic Development Committee together with those technical changes as recited in the June 7th, 2011 Common Council Action Sheet for this item, and also to provide that a member of CCD will be a qualifying, one member of CCD will be a qualifying requirement for membership on the Forward Franklin Economic Development.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes. Motion carries. If there's no objection, I'd like the vote recorded as unanimous. Seeing no objection, the vote is recorded as unanimous. Thank you. All right, turn to the regular order of business. And that is item three, ordinance to amend unified development ordinance to rezone a certain parcel of land from R3 suburban state single family residence district to I1 institutional district.
So moved.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 4, resolution to amend resolution number 2000-5130 and 2006-6110, imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of special use for the City of Franklin Water Tower located at 7401 West Putes Road. Mr. Bennett, there's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion, Mr. Alderman Taylor.
Jack, could you, we had plans originally, you showed me in your office yesterday regarding, they were difference in color of roof, that design right there, that bottom one without the black windows and that. I'm just curious, I support what you have before us, yeah, that one, but I just would want to know what the difference in cost is from that bottom proposal to the top one.
We would guess $5,000 to $7,000.
Okay, I just wanted to have, is that a, can you give me a hard number so I could have that, you know this week sometime?
Well, it would be a bid number when we bid it out, because we could deduct those, because there is going to be brick behind it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So when before you award bids, you'll have an exact number, and I can give that.
Okay.
Because they'll bid that.
Separately.
And I'll have them make sure that that's a separate item on the bid.
But $5,000 to $7,000, you're thinking roughly the changes from that proposal to that proposal?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Alderman Skransky?
Yeah, also to put a window on that west elevation we talked about. So it is a blank wall. West elevation faces 76 Street. So it looks more residential. And it's still very secure. And even if you split one of the windows or so, but it's very minimal for what that cost is going to be, because it's blocked behind her and not brick behind her.
Right.
These are all the windows with the black block wall, or the brick wall actually behind them.
Glass block, right?
Yeah.
And but even that, it'll be, there's no light will come through that.
Right.
We've got skylights here. And we'll have about half to three-quarters of $1 million worth of equipment and pumps inside, so we need this to be very secure. And the reason, again, for this is not necessarily for additional capacity, but to give reliability. Next year, we have to take the tower out of service, the Drexel Tower, that's the one right behind City Hall. Out of service will be painted. It has to be painted both inside and outside. It costs $500,000 to paint the tower. And during the summer, a good part of the summer, we're going to be out of service. And we only have one booster station. Now we got at least a number of hours to react if we had a, say, electrical fire at the Drexel booster station. Once the tower's out of service, we're going to have literally minutes, and we'll be out of water for the whole west side of Franklin. So we really need for reliability, and particularly when we paint the tower, because they'll run on these variable speed pumps to match the flow. So it's something the Board of Water Commissioners has recommended. We have saved up funds. We have funds, $1.3 million. This is approximately going to cost. We think maybe we'll get a little better price because of the situation we're in, with the economic situation. But this makes our system a much more reliable system. And you have authorized already for us to go out for bid, so we need the zoning change and the special use to make this. And if you want to make a condition upon an additional window on the west view, that's fine.
I would like to enter it into the motion.
I'm sorry, Alderman Scott.
I'd like to enter that into the motion to put one window on the west side of the building for to be more residentially appealing to the neighborhood.
Who's the second on the motion?
Second.
Fine.
Solomon.
Yeah.
Is that? Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine. Okay. So, motion on the floor has been seconded. Mr. City Attorney.
I heard one window on the west. What about the north? Because that was.
We got three windows.
Well, it should be specified in the motion.
Great.
Well, per the plans, right?
As per plans, drafted by Cameron.
And a date on the plan.
And a date on the plan. I thought there was a date.
There is. June
6/16/11.
Mr. Bennett, put you on the spot, but how many people in the city of Franklin will be served by this facility for the...
About half. We serve about 79% of the customers in the city are served by the water utility, and probably a little bit more than half are served on the west side.
So how many households is that?
So that's probably about 4,000.
4,000 households, maybe a family of four each household?
Probably the average of family 3.2 or something.
Okay.
Like that.
So about 12,000 people.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. The motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to ordinance to amend the Unified Development Ordinance pertaining to minor site plan amendments. This came from the...
So moved.
Second.
The moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, four ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
More good work from the ad hoc committee.
Resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of special use for a physical fitness facility use upon property located at 7211 South 76th Street.
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
The moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Four ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to requests from the Parks Commission for the Common Council to enter into negotiations with Milwaukee County for the lease of land southwest corner, excuse me, of South 51st Street and West Putes Road for development of a multi-recreational sports facility. While I didn't have the chance of printing an email out, I did receive one late from Scott Thinnes. I don't know if we have that to be entered into the record. I just got it. Well, my battery on my cell phone died, so I just got the email before the meeting. I don't know if you're all familiar with it. I think that's the only one that I received. I don't know if the aldermen have received anything other than that. I do have a request from the Parks Commission. I'm looking at Alderman Solomon. And that's that there has been quite a bit of discussion over time with the Milwaukee County Parks Director, with the county supervisor for that area, actually from the two county supervisors for Franklin. I have asked the governmental liaison officer for the county executive to look into this issue. And I believe there are also staff members from the Milwaukee County Parks Department that have been aware of that. There's a desire on the part of the city of Franklin to look at this parcel of land. And please bear with me, but the way that this is put together, it says enter into negotiations. And I think that's the second step in the process. First, because that I had discussions with the sheriff and parks director and everybody about this. The land first needs to be placed into surplus by Milwaukee County. And there has been numerous requests, but nothing formal. And so what I would ask is that prior to entering into negotiations, basically on something we don't know if it's even there's a desire on the part of Milwaukee County to place into surplus, that we, I ask the director of administration, maybe with the assistance of the city attorney, to formally approach, quote, the powers to be in Milwaukee County to find out if there, if this land, in fact, is available and can be negotiated. So, Alderman Schmidt.
I guess the question is, too, would be determining a cost estimate for this? Cost and the financial viability of this potential development?
I mean, Mike, I would say they probably should give it to us for no more than a dollar. Seriously, right? And that the city of Franklin is actually owed a central park to be built by the county of Milwaukee. And I'm dead serious about that. So, I do think that there's a desire on the part of several county supervisors and maybe the parks director to work with people in the city, but you know, I look at McCarty Park, McGovern Park, Zablocki Park. In fact, I was just playing golf there the other day. And many of the other parks that are throughout Milwaukee County's chain of parks. Those are all built by Milwaukee County. There may have been some support by municipalities, but it was borne by the county property tax dollars that were spent. And the people in Franklin have been paying property taxes to Milwaukee County for many, many years. So, you know, prior to us just looking at securing that land for the impact fees or whatever, I think you have to find out if the land can be placed in surplus. And then I would strongly urge that the city attorney be involved in these discussions, because there have been attempts by other entities outside of Franklin to place undesirable buildings and facilities on property. And so you wouldn't want to place land in surplus and then wind up not having a central park, but having something that's extremely undesirable all of itself.
Yes, and as we move forward, we wanted to look at the presentation that the CCD group gave to the Parks Commission. Very similar to what they gave to the Common Council 2 weeks ago. This gets them off the ground and gets us in a negotiation phase to at least let our county supervisors know that we're interested. The intent would be the lease is similar to what the Franklin National Little League has on 76th Street. It's $1 for all the acreage that they encompass up there. In fact, 2 years ago, they just got another acre for an additional parking lot, which they're raising money for right now. As you know, if you've been up there, it's kind of tight to park, and they've got tournaments and stuff going on, even the regular games during the week. Also, the park that's on Layton Avenue, name escapes me right now.
Conkle
Park, that has got the new softball diamonds on it that were just put up, the new pavilion and everything that's there, the playsets, that's all leased for $1 from the county. So, I mean, that's our intent, to come up with a similar agreement, and that will then give the private group or the city and the desire to go out and maybe put out an RFP and see what somebody comes forward for us. It doesn't have to be city dollars all the time. So let's see if we can make this happen.
Okay. Well, I guess I would again turn to the city attorney for again to fashion a motion that would handle having the director of administration with the assistance of the city attorney to open formal dialogue with Milwaukee County on seeing if the land is open, is available under surplus,
And if there is a desire, a willingness to enter into negotiations with us.
If I was an alderman, I would say so moved.
So moved.
Second.
Right. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. And maybe some of it brushed off over the world. I doubt it. Where are we? Item 8. Authorization to receive quotes for the installation of concrete sidewalk and easement along east side of 4934 West Forest Hill Avenue. And again, I received an email. I don't know if you received an email from Bruce Konetsky.
Yeah.
Basically saying that what comes around goes around, and that sees no reason why the city should be spending any dollars on this. Mr. Dunn?
Yes, both the Trails Committee and the Board of Public Works support the sidewalk. It was, as Mr. Konetsky's letter indicates, that it was part of the development agreement for this subdivision. And they did, the developer did put the sidewalk in. The neighbor to the east complained about it, and the council ordered that the Public Works Department remove the sidewalk, which was removed. So, although now that the city is more looking at and concerned with trails and all, there is a logical reason that the sidewalk should go in. We have an easement. The neighbor to the west is very much in favor and has agreed to shovel the sidewalk and to keep it open. I understand the school district is willing to extend and pay for their portion that would go to the driveway. You'd have to appropriate funds for it, but you know, this maybe is a way to rectify a previous mistake.
Alderman Schmidt?
Well, this project initiated with the resident, Mr. Cool, a few months back when he came before Public Works to offer to put in this walkway because students have been using that path for several years already, and he wanted to accommodate them at his expense, and just asking that the city might help pay for the materials that he would put in this pathway. Of course, that would only go up to the property line with the school limits. And after having discussed this a few times, well, myself and Mr. Romeis made several attempts to contact the resident next door. This woman was never home. She did not respond to a letter. And obviously, the student's been walking past her house for all this time, so it hasn't been an issue for her. And I think we, Public Works, finally decided that, well, maybe it would just be easier to put in this concrete pathway. And you know, I had talked to Dr. Patz about it, and he seemed receptive to doing what the school district contributing to complete this path. And I think it's a fairly, I mean, obviously, it's there is a cost involved, but it's a good, it's a win-win situation for the students because they're going to walk through there no matter what. We have a resident there who's a young resident, his young children, so he's planning to live there for a long time. That his own student kids probably someday will be using that pathway. So I think I would like to make a motion then that we authorize the staff to go out and get estimates for installing that cement sidewalk.
Is there a second on the motion?
I'll second it.
Under discussion. Alderman Solomon.
Any time we can get people off the streets, any time we can don't have to take cars to football games, they can walk there, that's a plus for the entire community, not just the convenience of a few neighbors, but it'll be the convenience. If we can get 20 people that are going to walk to the football game,
yeah,
take it pays for itself. There's 20 cars that don't get stuck in a parking lot.
Right. Or in front of their houses.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 4 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to authorization to accept the high bid for the sale of sewer and water.
And that motion. Would be Jack Schramm buying the pool.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for item 9. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
A little bit of money already.
We now have, employment agreement for Cal Patterson as Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Liberto.
This is brought back to you from the previous meeting where it was tabled. There is a change from the item that was brought to you previously because it does require mutual agreement between the two parties. What this employment agreement does is shorten the term from that which was presented at the last meeting. And Cal has suggested, and I've concurred as a good recommendation, and it's built into this, to do a term that ends April 30th. That gets you through the completion of the budget process, the tax bills, tax collection, and then the audit process for this year, which generally concludes at the end of April. So that allows a new person coming in to have the support of the predecessor while they're really trying to dig up all of what's necessary grasping the full complexities of the job and the uniqueness of Franklin. Because each
may interrupt you. Should we be turning any of this electronic stuff off? Because there was a flash that just went through the projector. Is there any? Do we have surge protectors on those?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
So that's what this revised version does. It much simpler language changes, and it has an earlier term. No extensions built in, no pay raises built in. Moves them as before to an August 1st part-time position, and I'll answer any questions that you may have.
Is there a motion to approve the employment agreement between the City of Franklin and Cal Patterson as Chief Financial Officer? That said agreement be executed by the mayor.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, 4 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Next item is 13, subrogation claim from police glasses. West Bend Mutual Insurance Company for their insured animal campus LLC. This employee was bitten by a City of Franklin police canine dog. Mr. Liberta, my reading of this is that there's a request to deny.
Yes, in accordance with the recommendation from our insurance company.
Mr. City Attorney?
Only that a daughter was the person bitten here. She's not making any claim. Mm-hmm.
But it's the
two recusers.
Yeah, but the party involved in the incident isn't part of the claim. It's merely the insurance company for that employer's workers' comp company seeking subrogation. So it's a little battle between two insurance companies right now.
And our recommendation from our insurance company
is to deny.
Move to deny.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item 14, potential public acquisition of property located at approximately 7501 South 49th Street. The city attorney, is there a desire to go into closed session to discuss this item?
Mr. Mayor, there is a need to go into closed session for competitive bargaining.
Okay. Is there any objection to going to closed session? If not, I'll read the motion. Council may enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes, Chapter 19.85, Sub 1, Sub E, to consider the potential public acquisition of property located at approximately 7501 South 49th Street, tax key number 788-9981-000, for the public purposes of flood management, stormwater control, public access, and additional access to Pleasant View Elementary School.
terms and provisions of such an acquisition and the investing of public funds for competitive and bargaining reasons, and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters discussed therein as it deems appropriate. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Madam Clerk, will you please take the roll?
Alderman Salmon.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Scott.
Aye.
Four ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Only those parties that have business on this item are to remain in closed session, and parties should take. Take about a 5 minute break. And then the council can decide if it wishes to either stay in open or go back in close.
Okay. That would be me. That would be right.
We're back in session on the record. Just a note, and that's that the municipal clerk has pointed out that. We have flash flood warnings, and that we do have low spots in Franklin. I can think of several in the 5th District.
In my district.
And that I would ask that we try and wrap this up, because last time we had rains like this, I remember spending a couple days out there, and we may have serious problems. So with that, is there a desire to go back into closed session?
Necessary, yes.
I see yes.
Yes.
Okay. Then I have to, do I have to reread the, yes, okay. I would, that means I have to put my glasses on. Council may enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statutes, Chapter 19.85, Sub 1, Sub E, to consider the potential public acquisition property located approximately 7501 South 49th Street, tax key number 788-9981-000 for the public purposes of flood management and stormwater control, park access, and additional access to Pleasant View Elementary School. Terms and provisions of such an acquisition and the investing of public funds for competitive and bargaining reasons, and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters discussed therein as it deems appropriate. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, seeing none, Madam Clerk, do you please take the roll?
Alderman Skaronski. Aye. Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Salmon.
Aye. Four ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. We're going back into closed session. Miscellaneous licenses. Alderman Salmon.
Met on June 17th, 11 o'clock until 1:05, and then picked it up.
Should we report what we did
this evening?
No action or something? Is it off the record?
No action required at this time.
Alderman Snipples.
May Golan. Hold for appearance. Shannon, approve of the letter. Shield, approve, hold for appointment. Valfried Enterprises, Franklin Mobile approved, Megamarts approved, Open Pantry approved, Sam's East approved pending plumbing inspection and a driver's license and schooling for the agent. Shack Enterprises approved pending inspections and payment. Ultramart approved pending fire inspection. Walgreens on 27th Street approved. Walgreens on Loomis approved. CVS approved pending complete application. Chai Gardens approved. Bowery approved pending final payment. Buckhorn approved pending inspections. Crystal Ridge approved pending inspections. ERJ Dining approved. Federation of Croatian approved pending building inspections. Formula 4 hold per the state per a state request. HB&H LLC approved, but we want to call in the agent, Sandy, so we'd like to have the agent appear before the licensing committee. Landmark approved pending electrical and building inspections. Little Cancun approved pending building inspection. Polonia approved pending payment. Rouse and Pub approved. TJL Holdings hold pending state request. Two Brothers, approved pending fire, water test, and seal. Wild Breed, approved. Aurora Pharmacy on Lover's Lane, approved. Aurora Pharmacy on Loomis, approved. Pending inspections.
I'm just going to ask a question.
Just a question on that one. Steve, what do you have on that one? I want to check.
Alderman Skransky had a question.
Ken, go ahead.
What do we approve on a pharmacy?
It's a $10 pharmacy application.
That's it?
That's it.
Which on the top one on the third page?
Yeah.
Thank pending you. Inspection.
Okay. Approved pending inspections, yeah. Sam's Pharmacy, approved.
Okay.
D&K Management, approved pending fire. Franklin Mobile, approved pending fire and payment. S&P Equipment, approved pending payment.
That's on Packard Avenue. Oh, that's up in.
That's the address of the owner. Yeah. Amy's Academy, approved pending fire. KinderCare, approved pending building inspection and fire. Miss Ricky's, approved. Family Treehouse, approved pending inspections. Innovative Health, approved pending building inspections. Jump Zone, approved. Milwaukee County Sports Complex, approved pending building and fire. Oakwood, approved. Whitnall Park, approved. Showtime, approved. Coley, approved. Goolzow, approved. Hackle, approved. Hanstein, approved. I'm sorry, Hanstein, hold for appearance. Castle, approved. Rafalski, approved. Schwartz, hold for appearance. Stark, approved. Baum, approved pending a seal. Cheesem, approved. Connors, approved. Decker, approved. Delgado, approved. Delverde, approved. Dragovic, approved. Drapes, approved. Peshera, approved. Hutz, approved. Jansen, approved. Jensen, approved. Cation, hold for appearance. Carell, approved. Kletchka, approved. Klein, approved. Kushan, approved. Lehman, approved. Luce, approved. Martins, approved. Matecki, approved. Meyer, approved. Miller, approved. Mishik, approved. Odison, approved. Owen, approved. Potracki, approved. Rivette, approved. Schmidt, approved pending payment. Sporleader, approved. Tari, approved. Templin, approved. Varga, approved. Walsgorf, approved. Weiss, approved. Westfall, approved. Wink, approved. Zielinski, approved. Zielinski, approved. Bergner, approved. Nackert, approved. Nackert, approved. Magna, approved. Reichel, approved. Sowinski, approved. Altera Coffee, approved. Boy Scouts of America, we just got through approving that earlier. And the last one is an addition that was added on a revised copy. Casa de Giorgio is approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
I move and second. Any further discussion? Alderman Taylor.
Just one thing I would just I guess to point out that we're done with the big batches. I think they're all completed for the most part. And we have had no repeat, like all the people we've talked to in the past, the establishments that caused issues in the past. So I think when the council adopted the stricter guidelines and when they've come before us, and we've given them pretty much, you get two strikes. This is one. Don't come before us again. You're not going to be able to get. Has worked so far. Now, it's not 100%. We've got a little time, but for the most part, I think we're on the right path of what we've done so far.
I have to say that I think you guys are the second best licensing committee of all time.
Let me guess, the one that you're on was the best?
The one I chaired.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, actually, you guys are better.
Yeah, you do a good job.
We really work good together.
You really Taunting. Do a great job.
Yeah, we work good together.
Yeah,
I just want to follow up. There were a couple that were requested by the Department of Revenue to be held or not have any action taken. Next week I will contact the Department of Revenue and make sure that the licensee is working out a plan with them. If not, either way, they will come back to license committee next time, and if there's no plan in the foreseeable future, I'll let license committee know.
Okay. Well, I would be remiss not to say that Carmen Sandy, yep. Jody, everybody in the clerk's office always does a fantastic job, and I was watching them go through all of this and pulling their hair out and getting ready for all your meetings.
Yep.
That's got to be the best staff anywhere.
Sorry,
they enjoy working with the current license committee.
I have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. You now have before you vouchers numbers 138812 through 138963. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Four ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have now before you the net payroll of June 17th, 2011, in the amount of $354,450.65. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Taylor. Aye.
Four ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. A motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Going back, thank you, Madam Clerk. Is there a motion to deny item E1A because the circumstances that gave rise to the appointment of economic development have substantially changed
tonight. Would be maybe to rescind that. I don't want to deny that's the right thing.
Table
it. Table indefinitely. Can we table it?
There is no more economic development.
Right. Then we'll just. How do we make it go away without denying? I don't know if that's going to make a motion to deny.
This is city attorney.
Receive and place on file. No action. What, Jesse?
City attorney.
Take no action on it.
No action required.
All right. Is there a motion to take no action on item E1A?
There's no. We don't need to do that even.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Okay, second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Four ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
The moved and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. We are adjourned.
That's how we roll.
You guys beat me up.